Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So where have we been today? Well, through the Republican debate on ABC, the disappearance of bees from much of the world and jobs from the Empire Zones and through Brooklyn as the bloggingest borough. Now back to the blogs for the yearly Coast Convention over the weekend in Chicago. If you are there, call us now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. About 1,500 bloggers from what Howard Dean once called the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party convened on the Windy City to compare virtual notes face-to-face and to greet the Democratic presidential hopefuls who all agreed to come except Joe Biden. Biden will be with us tomorrow, by the way, so we'll ask him about it. Most gawked at, probably, was the appearance by Senator Clinton, a favorite to deride among progressive bloggers as perhaps trying too hard to cozy up to the conservative or centrist establishment. So how'd it go? Well, we want to hear from you if you were there. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And joining us now are Gina Cooper, a founder of the Yearly Coast Convention and executive director of Netroots Nation, and one of the bloggers who is there, Mika Sifri, who's also co-founder of the website Tech President. So, Mika, welcome back. Gina, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us on.
Always good to be here, Brian.
Gina, for the uninitiated, why don't you just describe what the Yearly Coast Convention is designed to do?
Okay. Well, the Yearly Coast Convention, and we're, you know, you mentioned Netroots Nation. We're rebranding to Netroots Nation. Is a gathering broadly of citizens, experts, and leaders who use the internet as a primary source of their news and information, and also the blogosphere and other social networking tools as a means for becoming more politically active.
And I guess we should mention, for people who don't know, Yearly Coast, the name, is a riff on the progressive political blog Daily Coast. Coast comes from the last syllable of the first name of Marcos Melitzas, who founded it, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He was one of the early adopters of this technology, and he was able to create a space where regular people could gather and talk about politics. And so the idea of our organization came through the diaries on Daily Coast, which is an area where just, you know, anybody who's registered at that website can post their ideas. And so someone came up with the idea that we should all get together, and we thought it was a good idea, the group of us that took it on. And we knew that what we wanted to do was something that was much more broader than one community. But at the same time, it was very early in the development of the blogosphere. And so we needed a type of branding that was able to, you know, put us in a place where people would recognize us and allow us to get that initial start and grow. And Marcos was so kind to lend us that brand. And so now, as we're moving forward and we're growing into something that obviously cannot be contained in a single URL, we need to rebrand, and we're rebranding to Netroots Nation, and that reflects our ongoing mission to create a space that, you know, allows for the many diverse voices of the blogosphere to be able to use this convention as a tool for having their voices be heard.
So, Mika, what's the headline since you were there over the weekend?
Well, the headline is that the Netroots Nation has arrived as a major political force, certainly on the Democratic side of the equation. I mean, they had 7 out of the 8 presidential candidates, and I think that for those of us who were there, that was just an amazing event. Also, the candidates were really looser than you normally see them in this presidential forum that they did. You could see that they were clearly competing for the affection of the audience. I think what they recognize is that, you know, the 1,500 people in the room, who, by the way, were in all bloggers, there were a lot of folks from Washington and from around the country who are political activists who work in politics professionally.
Right. I should have said 1,500 bloggers and activists rather than all bloggers. Right.
Yeah. People need to understand the word bloggers are just people who use the blogging tool to, you know, express themselves and amplify their voices. But I think what the candidates realize is that this community is you know, become very self-conscious of itself and well-organized, and they collectively reach millions and millions of other activists. You may say, you know, most people still aren't bloggers, or most people still aren't using, reading the blogs, but these are the influentials. You know, these people reach, you know, the 10 million people who pay very close attention to politics, who influence everybody else about how they're going
to
vote.
And I'll tell you what, let's talk to a few people who are there and who are calling in. Cheryl in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Brian. First, thanks for taking my call, and I love your show.
Thanks so much.
I went in there not decided entirely, but strongly leaning in one direction. And I'll be open and say that I was leaning towards John Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I come away more open-minded than I went in.
Meaning he lost you, or some of the others won you?
A little of each. Edwards seemed to be trying a little bit too hard to me. He didn't stay on message on the questions that he was asked as much as I would have liked to hear him. I still, you know, my personal politics are very progressive, so, you know, in that he appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was more interested in hearing what they actually had to say. And
so give me one.
I thought he was speaking more in generalities than I wanted.
Give me one example of someone who impressed you more than you expected.
Well, I heard a little bit of Senator Obama in the breakout, and I didn't hear his whole breakout, but my main problem with him has been lack of specificity, and he was really speaking in detail. I was very impressed with that.
How about Hillary Clinton with the mixed reception?
Well,
and
you know,
your
Senator,
reaction?
Senator Clinton, when she's in a situation that she can control, is very, very, very impressive. She's such a smart woman. But there were a couple of times when she was asked questions that were not quite things that she could have prepared for, and I found her answers less than satisfying.
Do you remember one?
Yes, I do, actually. In her breakout, which I attended the whole thing, she was asked a question about four specific bills that had passed during the Clinton administration and that have had what we consider in the progressive community to have been deleterious effects,
mm-hmm.
and whether she would rescind them were she to become president. One of them was the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and she kind of started blaming Al Gore for it, which didn't sound
wow,
so good.
That's interesting. Huh. All right, Cheryl, thanks for calling in and giving us your report. Gina Cooper, who organized Yearly Coast, you know, this is what's broken out in the mainstream media, as I'm sure you know, as the story from the weekend. Hillary Clinton coming, then finally agreeing to do that breakout session and getting a mixed reception. How would you characterize that?
Well, I'd like also to respond to the caller, if that's okay.
Yeah,
or
sure.
Respond to thing that that comes to mind is that, you know, our mission, I feel like, at our convention is to help give people, you know, access and the information that they need to be able to make decisions for themselves about many things that come to participating in our democracy. So, you know, I'm not surprised that, you know, somebody who would come on as one supporter might, you know, start moving in a different direction or have questions or do new things. That's precisely what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is we want to challenge we want to challenge notions and we want to challenge assumptions, and I think we did that. And also, I think one thing, there was a great photo in the AP that was by AP that showed the picture, a photo of John Edwards, Senator Clinton, and Senator Obama, and it had them all, you know, smiling. But you know, that wasn't a moment that was a photo op. That was actually a candid photo.
Mm.
And I think that something that's been missing from our political system that is this sort of idea of access, that, you know, people want to be close to their leaders and they want to be able to know that their voices are heard and the things that they say matter. But I think also our leaders want that as well. And I think, you know, kind of seeing that kind of joy on their faces of, you know, just a spirited political discussion among, you know, with regular people's ideas being represented, I think is something they enjoy.
And it matters.
Yeah. I think we also create a place where, I mean, there's a reason that most people that I've noticed get into politics in the first place. There are a lot more idealists out there. And maybe the political system, the way it works now, is something that rewards behavior that's more cynical and, you know, just very much centered on power as opposed to centering on what you believe.
And this kind of thing, and really the whole Web 2.0 world, gives more opportunity for people who really believe in things to get in there and feel like they have some access, some power.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think it does the same thing for our candidates. I think they truly, you know, want to help other people. I mean, at least on the left, right? You know, they get into this for a reason. And if we can create, even for just a weekend, a place where that idealism can be what rules,
right.
You know,
and of course,
idealism and, you know, having information and access to it to democratize the access to the information and knowledge.
Right. And there'll be a lot of people on the right who say they get into politics to help people, too. But you'll have to argue that out at some other time. Here is another person who attended the conference, Gabriel Panek, who we got in touch with this morning. He's a student at the Dalton School here in Manhattan, and he attended Yearly Coast. Hi, Gabriel. Thanks for coming on with us.
Morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
So you go to high school at Dalton?
Yes.
And you went out to Chicago to do Yearly Coast?
Yes. A friend, my father, and I went to Chicago.
And what was it like?
Well, first of all, I was surprised that there were no other teenagers there.
You were the only that's hard to believe.
The only two I saw. I saw some people at the Presidential Leadership Forum who were like 18 or so, but for the first couple of days, we were the only ones.
Uh-huh.
That was very interesting. But, you know, it was great to be able to go and to see these panels and for, you know, two people who are my friend and I, who are very involved in politics but have never been able to really, you know, go to events or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to be able to go to these panels. You know, saw John Dean on a panel, Nixon's counselor,
right.
Whatever he was. Saw many candidates running for Congress, Gary Troner, Eric Massa, you know, being able to get to meet them.
And did you do the presidential panel?
Yes, I went to that.
Who impressed you and why?
Well, I was committed before to, I guess I'll say, John Edwards.
Uh-huh.
And unlike the person from... You know,
from Brooklyn, who called earlier?
Right. He was really impressive in the debate, and I thought he ran away with it. And I'm trying to be as impartial as possible here, but he was great. He got tons of applause from everybody, and I was much, much more impressed with him.
Do you blog, or did you just go as an interested individual?
I tried a blog. I had a blog on the 2008 Senate races for about 10 months that I updated every 2 weeks or so that I stopped doing in March of this year.
It's tough to deal with the Dalton workload and keep up a blog, right?
Yeah, right. It's tough to juggle all these things, but I work, so.
Gabriel, thanks a lot for calling in, and good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Stay involved. Mika, I want to read you part of the column by Ben Smith on the Politico today, writing about the conference, and he says the influence of the liberal blogs on the Democratic presidential primary is a shadow of what it was in 2004. Then a united blogosphere propelled Howard Dean to prominence and struck fear into the hearts of cautious establishment Democrats. Now the blogosphere is divided on which candidate to support, and Clinton and Obama have ignored pressure from online activists to move left on important issues, including the speed of withdrawal from Iraq. Do you agree?
You know, I don't quite agree with Ben, though. He's a very perceptive writer and works hard, and you know, I wouldn't discount his impressions at all. The fact is that the Democrats have a very strong presidential field, and their base is divided. It's not a surprise that bloggers, political bloggers, who are not a monolith, they don't all take their marching orders from Marcos, would themselves be debating who they should support and why. I do think one thing that surprised me a little bit was the degree to which the war itself was not a bigger issue at Yearly Coast. There was no feeling of the anti-war movement really pressuring the candidates there. I ran into Eli Pariser, the director of MoveOn.org, and asked him if they had organized anything or if they were trying to, you know, do some sort of concerted questioning of the candidates. And he kind of shrugged and said, no, you know, we didn't do that. Maybe we should have. But I wouldn't say that it's, you know, for Ben to suggest that the blogosphere's influence has waned is a little odd, considering that last year I think there was only one or two presidential mm-hmm. candidates who came to the Yearly Coast Convention in Las Vegas.
Let me sneak one other question in here for you before we run out of time,
sure.
because you may have seen the New York Times blog, The Caucus, reported a conversation that took place at the conference between your partner, Andrew Roche, of Tech President, and a gun control advocate who was trying to get bloggers to cover the issue. And reportedly, he told her, basically, unless you start a blog yourself, she won't be able to get the attention of the progressive blogosphere. So is that an indication that it's somehow closed off and elitist in some way?
You know, I actually, no. It's more suggests to me that the leading progressive blogs have decided that gun control is not an issue around which they can win a majority.
Huh.
And they're very pragmatic. You know, people label the political bloggers, you know, often as the left or something. I mean, many of them are very pragmatic about what it's going to take to win the White House, what it's going to take to win or expand the majority that Democrats have in Congress. And they seem, you know, certainly on the margins, quite willing to look the other way at somebody
right.
like, oh, you know, a Jim Webb or a John Tester, who is, you know, on the other side of that issue of gun control, because it gets them one more vote.
Unfortunately, that's going to have to be the last word for today. Mika Sifri, as always, thanks for coming on, co-founder of Tech President, and Gina Cooper, founder of the Yearly Coast Convention and executive director of Netroots Nation. We will have you back. Thank you both very much for coming on with us.
A pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Joe Biden tomorrow.